So many things about our solar system cannot be explained by evolutionary theory. Earth is amazingly designed to maintain life, and although we've searched for years, no other planet can match it. Did this happen by chance? Stay tuned.
The moon is essential to our existence. No ocean tides, no moon, would mean no air to breathe.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. Genesis 1, verses 14 through 16 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Please join us for the next 15 minutes as we explore the universe created by our God. Early astronomers came up with different theories about the formation of the solar system. Dr. Danny Faulkner is professor of astronomy and physics at the University of South Carolina.
Let me step back a couple hundred years ago. In the 18th century, there was a famous French astronomer and mathematician, scientist named Laplace, and he put forth a theory of how the solar system came to be, that you had clouds of gas in space that condensed to form the sun. That would be a blob of material in the middle that contained most of the material, most of the mass. And then there was a disk of material that formed, and gradually the planets would form out of that disk. And this theory, even though it's over 200 years old, is still the basic idea that evolutionary astronomers use to explain the existence of the solar system, how it came to be. It's called Laplace's idea is called the nebular hypothesis, and elements of that are still around today, as I said.
But there was another idea in the scientific community.
Now, there was an alternative view that had been around about the same time as Laplace. A man named Immanuel Kant, a German philosopher and scientist, he suggested that these little blobs of material we saw in space were actually whole galaxies, other collections of billions of stars orbiting around, and that blob you saw in the middle was not a single star forming, but many billions of stars combined light. Now, this is called the island universe idea, and 100 years ago, this was a big debate among scientists, which was correct. Were these spiral or pinwheel nebulae, were they indeed clouds of gas in our own galaxy, or were they whole other galaxies outside of our own?
This dilemma was seemingly solved in the early part of the 20th century.
Edwin Hubble in 1924 was able to photograph individual stars in what was then called the Andromeda Nebula. They were very faint stars, faint appearing, but they were intrinsically very bright stars, which meant that the Andromeda Nebula was not a nebula at all, but actually a galaxy outside of our own. Hence, these were not solar systems in the forming as Laplace had suggested. And eventually, very quickly, people realized that most of these other spiral nebulae, in fact, all of them, actually were rotating star systems, big, large galaxies, island universes, again, as Kant had coined the term.
Many unique things about our solar system cannot be explained by evolutionary theory. Tom Henderson retired just 2 years ago from NASA's Johnson Space Center.
One interesting thing about the solar system is that you find a lot of evidence in the solar system which contradicts that which is assumed by the evolutionary theory that the solar system formed by some solar nebula and gradually all the planets and moons of the solar system formed along with the sun 4.5 billion years ago or so. For instance, if you look at the planet Venus, you find that Venus spins in the wrong direction assumed by this solar nebula theory. Theoretically, everything should spin in the same direction, but Venus goes opposite to that.
And there are other surprises. Wayne Spencer has a master's degree in physics and is director of Creation Education Materials in Arlington, Texas.
One of the interesting things that Isaac Newton would not have known about in the solar system is something that I call the dancing moons. This is some moons at Saturn Saturn has over 20 moons, and two of the small ones just outside the rings of Saturn, their names are called Janus and Epimetheus, but they are what I call the dancing moons, or scientists call them co-orbital moons. They have two orbits that are very, very close to each other, and their orbits are so close that they don't have room to pass each other at one point. And so about every 4 years, they come up, catch up close to each other, and they actually rotate around each other and then continue in the other orbit. So they actually trade orbits. And they don't collide. They don't throw each other out of orbit. So that's really an amazing thing. I think that speaks of God's intelligent design in the solar system. So in the solar system, I find that there's a lot of predictable patterns that speaks of intelligent design, but there's also a lot of surprises. Our God, and the God of the Bible, is not limited to the what I would call the naturalistic patterns that are predicted by evolutionists. He's made things orderly, but he's also included a lot of surprises.
Our moon is really essential to life as we know it. Dr. Donald DeYoung is professor of science at Grace College in Indiana.
There was a recent article by NASA scientists in Nature magazine exploring lunar tides. The conclusion is that the tides are responsible for at least half of the ocean circulation along with the winds. Much tide energy is dissipated in the deep oceans, continually stirring the water like a global washing machine. These currents are essential to the ocean's health, and our lives depend on the ocean. Healthy aquatic plants provide much of the oxygen we breathe. What this Nature article is saying, then, is that the moon is essential to our existence. No ocean tides, no moon, would mean no air to breathe. Creationists are not surprised at this. We realize that even in a fallen world, there is still purpose and design on all sides, including our created moon.
Recent computer studies also show the important part the moon plays in our seasons.
The moon's gravity stabilizes the Earth's tilt, that is, holds it constant. Without the moon, over a long time scale, the Earth's axis would wander chaotically. There would be no predictable change of seasons. The northern hemisphere, for example, might be turned into a desert, or might be turned into a deep freeze. But the moon helps maintain our seasons. And in fact, the Bible tells us, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, that God's faithfulness is shown by the regular seasonal change. The verse says that seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter will never cease. In many ways, our moon is a faithful witness of creation and of God's care.
Not only do evolutionists have a hard time explaining the mysteries of the universe, but also the uniqueness of planet Earth. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Wayne Spencer explains.
That's an interesting verse to me because the earth is very special in many properties and makes it suited for life. And many things that we take for granted are designed into the earth for our benefit. One of the things is, you often hear something about the earth and its orbit. It's the right distance from the sun to be not too hot and not too cold. But what's really, I think, interesting is it's not just the orbit. You know, the orbit could vary some and still be okay for life. But the Earth's atmosphere, the presence of so much water on the Earth, the Earth's tilt, and all of these things work together to make the climate okay for life on Earth. And there was a comment related to this by the famous scientist Isaac Newton. He made a comment that when I look at the solar system, I see the Earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amount of heat and light. This did not happen by chance. The motions of the planets require a divine arm to impress them. That was the famous Isaac Newton, who was really the first to explain the motion of the planets in certain ways.
Many things make our solar system unique. Dr. Russ Humphreys is a physicist at Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, design just tells you there's a designer, but there are other things in nature that tells you the designer was Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. There's strong evidence for a recent creation, as described in the Bible, for a fall of all of nature into decay, into a law of decay and death. That's Genesis chapter 3. There's worldwide evidence for a major flood that just covered the whole earth very catastrophically. All the sedimentary layers of rock we see all over the earth point to that. And then finally, there is evidence for dispersion of mankind from a place in the Middle East not long after the flood, during an ice age. And all of these things are pointed to in Scripture. So you not only know that there was a designer, but it looks like that designer did everything that the Bible talks about. So we know that the designer is Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So for Christians and non-Christians, there's strong evidence in the world. And actually, I would say the wealth of evidence is in favor of exactly the picture that the Bible pictures of things. So for Christians and non-Christians alike, the message is you can rely upon Scripture to tell you accurately what has happened in the past and what will happen in the future, and what your destiny is. And so that's a very important message, I think, for anybody, Christian or non-Christian.
Tom Henderson.
When I talk about the challenge of space exploration, and I give a story of the exploration of space, and we go visit the various planets, I take my audience back to the Earth. That's an important place to come back, because on the Earth is where God sent His Son to become a man so He could live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins and be raised again to eternal life. And just as He was raised from the dead, believers in Christ will also be raised. And that's something to look forward to. And I'm sure as in our eternal time in heaven, we'll be able to explore the universe without spacesuits, without rockets.
Thank you for joining us for today's program, Sun, Moon, and Stars. To learn more, ask for Impact Article Number 300 by Dr. Danny Faulkner, entitled The Young Faint Sun Paradox and the Age of the Solar System, when you contact ICR, or try our website at www.icr.org. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7 and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.